Turn with me, please, once again to Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 27, all the way through verse 3 of chapter 4. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that as we study it together this morning, that you would enlighten our understanding, that we might have a proper interpretation of this passage of Scripture and other passages that we evaluate, and then that we would move beyond just the understanding to go to the point of practical application into our lives today to bring glory to you. For we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. Willie was a rancher from Wyoming. He had had a lifelong dream of becoming the rancher with the biggest ranch and the largest cattle in the whole country. And so in every edition of Progressive Rancher magazine, Willie would pore through it, comparing the statistics of large famous ranches around the country to those of his own. Unfortunately, it seemed that he could never best Tex from Texas. Well, Willie finally decided to take a trip down south and see this Texas cattle ranch for himself. When he arrived at the front gate, the famous rancher, Tex, happened to be standing there visiting with the mailman. Willie introduced himself, and the mailman went on his way. Willie began to tell Tex about his own impressive cattle ranch up in Wyoming, stretching the facts just a bit in order to try to impress his competitor. Tex would listen, nod, chew on this piece of straw he had in his mouth. Well, at Willie's request, the two of them ended up in the Texan's Ford Bronco, checking out the livestock and the facilities. All along the way, Willie would brag about his own operation and how it was, well, actually bigger than the one they were on now. Tex would nod, chew on the piece of straw he had in his mouth. Well, far from the ranch house, they drove up to this large herd of Texas Longhorns. And right in the middle of this herd was this majestic Longhorn steer right there in the center, and they're parked right beside him. In answer to Willie's questions, Tex explained that this prize-winning beauty weighed in at 2,950 pounds and had a span from horn tip to horn tip of just over 9 feet. Well, by now, Willie had abandoned his attempt at just stretching the truth and was telling flat-out lies. So he described his own prize-winning steer back home that, by the way, weighed in at just over 3,000 pounds and had a horn span of 9.5 feet. Tex nodded, chewed on the piece of straw. When Tex asked Willie if he had the time to see the rest of the ranch, Willie was amazed and somewhat perturbed that after these several hours of touring together, they still weren't to the edge of the property. And so he boasted to Tex, "You know, in my place up in Wyoming, some days I'll get up, sunrise, I'll hop in my truck and I'll start driving. And I drive, and by the end of the day, as the sun goes down, I still haven't reached the edge of my property." The renowned Texas rancher just stared at him, chewing on this piece of straw, before he finally said, "Yeah, I had a truck like that once." The Oxford American Dictionary defines boast like this: to talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. In our context today, Paul asks the rhetorical question, where is boasting? And since all of us here have a tendency, we are somewhat prone to partake in a little bit of boasting, then we're going to examine Paul's answer along with several other passages of Scripture that address this particular issue. And what we find, first of all, is that the Bible makes it perfectly clear that prideful boasting has no place in the life of a Christian. Prideful boasting has no place in the life of a Christian. Now, I'm going to capitalize on the Oxford American Dictionary definition here, and we're going to work through this. To talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. So I'm going to look at those three things in particular. So we see, first of all, that God does not want you to boast in your own achievements. This has no place in the life of a Christian, boasting in our own achievements. You know, some people boast as if by their own righteous living that they have achieved salvation. They'll talk about the things that they have done, the righteous life that they have lived, and that somehow or another is a result of that, that God owes them eternity in heaven, that they have achieved that, they have earned it. But the repeated emphasis of the Bible is that no one can work their way to heaven. Going back to our context of Romans 4, verse 1, we read this: "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about." In other words, if you could look back at righteous Abraham and say, well, because of these things that he did, because he worked hard at becoming a righteous man, and because he faithfully did all of these things, that he finally achieved a right standing before God, he achieved personal righteousness, and God had to let him into heaven. If that were the case, then Abraham would have something to boast about. Of course, Paul immediately has to add in there, but not before God. Because in reality, even if he did that, then he can't boast before God. He's just boasting in himself. But he says, that wouldn't be true. Verse 3, what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It was not earned by him. It was credited to him. God, in His sovereignty and in His grace and mercy, credited to Abraham a righteousness, and allowed him to be able to see eternity in His presence, heaven. But Abraham didn't earn that, nor can we earn it. We've quoted here many times Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God credited to us." And then he has this last phrase, "not by works, so that no one can boast." We have nothing for which we can boast. We cannot boast that we have achieved salvation. Salvation cannot be earned. Salvation can only be granted by a loving Savior, by God Himself, through Jesus Christ. Many boast as if all their personal accomplishments, whatever those may be, those personal achievements were accomplished without having received anything from anyone else. In other words, I did it all myself. We've all had kids who've said this, you know, sometime earlier in their life, they come up to us having just achieved something significant in their minds. Maybe for the first time, they tied their own shoes. And so they walk up with this proud look on their face, "Look what I did!" And we look down at this gnarled mess, you know, on their shoe. And the statement is, "I did it all myself." You know, we're still that same way, aren't we? We like to take credit for the things that we feel like we did all ourselves. Matter of fact, and the next step usually for the parent is, "Good job, Johnny. Well, let me help you." And we go down to try to retie it because it's a mess down there. You go reaching down there. "No! I did it all myself." We want to take credit and we don't want anybody else imposing on that credit. We want the credit. For the same thing is true in the lives of so many adults. And we think that somehow or another, whatever it is that we have accomplished, that we've done it all on our own, without anybody's input, without anybody's assistance. The Scriptures address that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He starts out saying, "Who makes you different from anyone else?" You know, we always want to be different from anybody else. We want to do it our way. We want to be unique. We want to stand out as different from the crowd. You remember when you were in high school and you want to be different from anybody else? And so you went and bought the same shoes that everybody else was wearing. You got the same clothes that everybody else was wearing. Cut your hair the same way everybody else was doing it. And your parents say, "Why are you doing that?" "Because I want to be different." Yeah, well, that made sense. Anyway, so we look at our lives and we still kind of do that. We want to be different. And Paul says, "What makes you different from anybody else?" And then he goes on, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" In other words, we say we have done something ourselves. This is my accomplishment, my achievement, as if nobody else had any part in it. The reality is that we don't ever accomplish anything by ourselves, do we? We have received something along the way. Even if you could say, "No, wait a minute, Pastor. I did this certain thing, but maybe you're an artist. I painted this myself with nobody's help." Maybe you didn't get any lessons. I don't know. But who gave you that ability? God gave it to you. You can't ever say you did anything on your own without anybody's input. God is the one who grants us the breath that we take in the morning that allows us to be able to get out of bed to start with. If it weren't for the grace of God at work in your life, you wouldn't be here. We can never say we did it all ourselves. God doesn't want you to boast in your own achievements. Secondly, God does not want you to boast in your possessions, using the American Oxford or the Oxford American Dictionary. Does not want you to boast in your achievements. You know, some people boast as if they can personally take credit for their family history. Now, stop and think about it. We talk about relatives. We talk about what our parents did and what our grandparents did, who our relatives are, as if we can take personal credit for that. You've heard me talk about my own family. You've heard me talk about the Christian home that I grew up in, and I'm so thankful for that Christian home, for the influence they had in my life. I'm thankful for that. And then I can go to, you know, uncles who were in full-time ministry. I got a great-grandfather who was a full-time circuit-riding pastor in the Deep South. So I can stand up here and I can boast about that. Like what? Like I did it? I didn't do any of that stuff. I wasn't even around. I showed up late on the scene. And yet there are people who boast in their family history as if they can take credit for it. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what was going on in our context of Romans. We remember back in chapter 2, we were looking at what the Jews would boast about. He says in chapter 2, verse 17, "Now you, if you call yourself a Jew..." So right off the bat, we're looking at claiming credit for some sort of a heritage. "And I have inherited this relationship. I am a descendant of Abraham, and now I am claiming to be a Jew," as if I get some sort of special credit for that. "If you rely," he goes on, "if you rely on the law and brag about your relationship with God." Now here's what was happening in the first century. These Jews, and they'd been going on for centuries before that, would look back to the days of Abraham, and they would say, "You know, Abraham was a righteous man, and I am a descendant of Abraham." What, as if you get the righteousness of Abraham? Just because Abraham lived a righteous life doesn't mean that you have, and you certainly can't take credit for that. And yet the Jews in that first century had a tendency to take credit for it. Yeah, we have a right relationship with God. We? Who is we? Well, Abraham and Abraham's descendants, and I'm a descendant of Abraham, so I get credit here. You don't get credit. That's what Paul was saying here. You call yourself a Jew. You brag about your relationship with God. Some people brag as if they can take credit for their family history. Some boast about their knowledge of the Bible, as if merely possessing that knowledge somehow or another earns them a special blessing before God. They think that because they have the Bible, and you've met people like this. Maybe you're talking to somebody who is obviously an unbeliever. They don't know Jesus Christ. And you're talking to them, and they say, "Well, I've read the Bible." What, as if that gives you some sort of special standing? You've read the Bible? Maybe you even know people who've studied it. And they're still not believers. They've memorized it. You know, I've memorized a lot of verses. And then you find out they've memorized twice as many verses as you. Does that give them a special standing before God? See, God isn't concerned about whether or not you possess the Scriptures. He wants to know whether or not you're doing anything about it. God's concern is whether you are obeying the Scriptures, not merely claiming to have them. We see that brought out in Romans chapter 2, verse 23, he goes on to say, you who brag about the law, this would be bragging that I have the law, that I possess the law, that this has been handed down. It's like some ancient Bible that we have that my great-great-great-grandfather had, and it's been passed down from day to day and age to age, and I set it there on my coffee table, and then I brag about it. I've got the law, as if that earns you a right relationship. You who brag about the law, Paul says, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? See, there's the issue. It's not whether or not you possess it. It's whether or not you obey it. So you can't brag about possessing the law. You need to recognize that God has given you this so that you can do something about it, so you can obey it. Many take great pride in their positions of prestige, especially in Western culture. Their positions of prestige, equating that with some sort of an advantage in the spiritual realm. If you're someone of worth, someone of note in this world, then somehow or another you've gotten to move up in the ranks in God's eyes as well. The truth is, God will more often use those with no earthly prestige in order to bring glory to Himself than He will those who have earthly prestige. Well, how can you say that, Pastor Keith? Because the Bible tells me that. Listen, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 through 29. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. In other words, when it comes to prestige, God is far more likely to choose someone who has no prestige just to bring glory to Himself. Because He doesn't want us boasting. We can't boast because of my family heritage, because I have moved up in culture, because I'm now some bigwig in some church or some government. I can't boast about those things as if that brings me into a better relationship with God. God doesn't choose us on that basis. So we have no room to boast. Prideful boasting has no place in the life of a Christian. And unfortunately, this extends beyond just the political realm or the social realm. This goes right into our own churches. And so even within the church, Christians are susceptible to an unhealthy preoccupation with personalities. We fall prey to the same worldly traps that others around us fall into, to that worldly practice of boasting about celebrity heroes. And even within the church, there are people who become celebrity heroes. I was studying through this passage and thinking about all these things. And of course, immediately I'm remembering back where several years ago I made some comment, you know, a passing comment. You get to talking up here in the pulpit. Made some passing comment about, when you go out and you see somebody in the community, you be sure and tell them you got the world's greatest pastor. You know, I just came out there. And then I started having these people that were coming out. Hang on, I'm digging a trench here. I got these people that are coming out after church, and they're still doing it to this day. Several years after I preached that message, they come out, you're the world's greatest pastor, and they give me this hug. And then I'm reading this passage, they say, you can't do that. I've got nothing to boast about. Paul had to set the Corinthians straight about this. Even within the church, when we've got our celebrity heroes, Paul said, no. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, this was Paul writing this, and he's writing to this group of believers who are bragging about following Paul. He says, when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each His task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And then he wraps up that thought down in verse 21 where he says, so then, no more boasting about men. Not even within the church. Okay, so you know what I told you earlier? We're not doing that anymore. So when you go out in the community and you see other people, here's what you say. Say, I am so thankful to be at a church where the gospel of Jesus Christ is clearly proclaimed week after week after week. That's all that matters. That's why we're here, is to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, not to be involved in prideful boasting for whatever cause. That has no place in the life of a Christian. So God does not want us to be boasting that we possess a good pastor or any other whatever it may be. And God does not want you to boast in your own abilities. All of these things fit hand in hand. We can see that. In your own abilities. And what is a matter of almost universal self-deception, most people believe that they deserve to get to heaven because of their ability to live a righteous life. Even within the church, this is true. Most people believe that they deserve to get to heaven because of their ability to live a righteous life. So you get into conversations with these people and you ask them, you know, do you think you're going to go to heaven? I think I'm probably going to go to heaven. Why? And then listen to their answers. Matter of fact, I could ask that right now. I could ask you, do you think you're going to get to heaven? Why? And take some answers. I'm not going to do that right now. But if you ask that, you're going to find many people will respond, well, because I live a good life. Most common response, I live a good life. I try hard to live a good life. I help other people, and they're going to start giving you a list of things that they do to help other people. You might even hear, and this is one that I've commonly heard over the years when I ask that kind of question, you might even hear people say, well, you know, I obey the Ten Commandments. And so they are convinced that they have the ability to be able to obey the Ten Commandments, and because of that, God is going to be obligated to let them into heaven. And so really, when I say, why are you going to get to heaven? And you say, because I obey the Ten Commandments, you've now boasted about how you're going to get to heaven. You're boasting in your own abilities to be able to live that kind of a righteous life. You know, this is the very error that Paul addresses in Romans chapters 3 and 4. We started our passage earlier in verse 27 where he says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. So he's already expecting this kind of a response. What makes you think you're going to get to heaven? Because we have the law and we obey it. And we're the only people on the face of the earth that do, the Jews might say. And so he says, is it on observing the law? Is that how you're going to get to heaven? And he says, no. We have to exclude boasting because it doesn't come from our ability to obey, from our ability to be able to live up to this kind of standard. You know, in Western culture today, most boast in their ability, here's another area, in their ability to be tolerant of other people's perspectives. As a matter of fact, that has been elevated to one of the highest of character traits in our culture. If you are a tolerant person, then you're among the best. If you are an intolerant person, regardless of what else you may have going for you, then you are a very bad person. This has become such an elevated characteristic that it almost trumps every other characteristic, regardless of what you may believe and what you may teach. We boast in our ability to be tolerant toward those who live differently from ourselves. As a matter of fact, the criticism is always that churches like ours are intolerant churches, that we preach against certain things. And we say things like homosexuality is a sin. And so we are an intolerant church, and we need to have that voice snuffed out according to the way the world looks at things. This is addressed actually in Scripture. We read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, about a group of people who were boasting in their tolerance. And let me add before I read this passage, there's a place for tolerance. We need to have a certain degree of tolerance, but not when it comes to the truth of Scripture and tolerating something that is against God's truth. We cannot be tolerant of that. And so we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he writes to the Corinthians, he says in verse 1, it's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that does not occur even among the pagans. A man has his father's wife. And you are proud. So the Corinthian congregation was proud that they let everybody come to their church and worship. That they would encourage everybody. It doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you think, what you believe. Just come to our church and be a part of this loving group. Doesn't matter all these other things. He says, and you are proud. And then he adds this, shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? And then he goes on a few verses later and he says in verse 6, your boasting is not good. They boasted that they were a church who accepted everybody no matter what. And Paul says, your boasting is not good. We can't boast about being tolerant. Yeah, there's a place for tolerance. We can discuss that in some other message. But to sit here and boast that we're tolerant, because even if you're living in blatant immorality, we welcome you here and we put our arms around you and we say, man, we're just so thankful to be all one in God. Don't boast in that kind of tolerance. That's not even proper. That's totally outside of God's will. We read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 about Paul's maybe a tendency, I won't even say a tendency, the potential that Paul could have boasted about himself. Because even great evangelists who see many conversions in the course of their ministry cannot boast as if by their own abilities they have seen these people become Christians. If I were to preach a message today, and then at the end of the message, two dozen people said, I'm accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, would I have reason to boast? No, because I didn't save any of them. I can't save anybody. Yeah, but you're up there preaching. I have to preach. That's what Paul said. When he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, when I preach, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Compelled by who? My God, the one who gave him the gift. I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me, he says, if I do not preach. There's the reality. For every pastor who proclaims the gospel message, we have nothing about which to boast. I have to do this job. I have been called by God and gifted by God to do this job. I have to do it. I cannot boast about it. And by the way, this isn't just for the preachers in the midst, because this same principle applies to every one of us. All of us have a ministry of some sort. Whether it's a ministry of standing up in front and teaching in a large congregation, or teaching a small Sunday school class or Bible study, or whatever your particular spiritual gift may be, when you are exercising your spiritual gift, you have nothing about which to boast in yourself. Because that gift wasn't something you came up with. It was given to you by God. And that gift, when it yields results and people's lives are impacted, you didn't change their lives. God is the one who changes their lives. So again, you got nothing about which to boast. All you could say is, I have to do this. This is what God called me to do. Here's another area where people might be inclined to boast. Some of the highly organized types amongst us may be tempted to boast in their ability to keep a busy schedule. And they think to themselves, you know, I've got so many things happening, but I'm going to organize this here, I'm going to do it this way over here, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to plan about this for next week, and this for the week after, and this for next month. And we go out a year, year and a half, and we're making all these plans, and we boast about how, yeah, you know, I've got my life together. Maybe we even teach seminars. Here's how you can get your life together, and you can be as good as me. So we teach these kind of things. You know, we're boasting about ourselves. And God warns us to be very careful when it comes to this kind of thing. Be very careful how we express ourselves. You know, organized or not, your every single step, every single day depends upon the grace of God. You acknowledge that? So you may be organized, and you may be able to plan a day in advance, a week in advance, or a year in advance, but I guarantee that you're never going to reach tomorrow if it's not for the grace of God, let alone a year from now. So be careful how you express yourself. This is what we read in James chapter 4. Verse 13, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Now, I'm all in favor of being organized. I keep trying it. One of these days I'll get there. And I'm in favor of those who are very good at organizing. And I say, God bless you for it. I'm thankful for your time. But we can't boast that we did those things. We cannot boast and say, I'm the one in charge of my future. Rather, we give all of the glory to God. Which brings me to point two, and that is that a Christian should boast only to give all glory to God. That's the only reason. You're wondering, is there an appropriate time to boast? After all of this other stuff, you're thinking, well, there's never a time to boast. Yeah, there is. That's when we give all glory to God. God wants you to boast that He alone is Savior. This is the most significant boast that you can make, that He alone is Savior. Having been justified through Jesus Christ, we have reason to boast in the hope of the glory of God, according to Romans chapter 5. Listen for, with verse 1, Romans 5:1. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is the end of verse 2, Romans 5:2. And we rejoice. But the word rejoice can be translated boast. It's the same word that we had back in Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4. Same word. So you could translate this and say, but we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We're going to give God the glory. We are going to boast in God. Is there an appropriate boasting? Yeah, it's when we boast in Jesus Christ. It goes on down to verse 9. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice, and the word there is the same one that's translated boast in Romans 3 and Romans 4. We could say boast. We also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. It's appropriate to boast in Jesus Christ as the only Savior. He is the only Savior. And maybe we wouldn't express that as boasting, because boasting almost always has a selfish focus. But the same word is used. It means that we're going to lift up and magnify. We are going to be grateful for the fact that this is a truth and that God has allowed us to understand this truth. We are going to lift up and magnify the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to do it unashamedly. We are going to boast in that truth. He wants you to boast that He alone is Savior. There are other gods, small g, who are worshipped by other religions in our world, but there's only one true God, and there's only one Savior, Jesus Christ, and we boast in that Savior. Intolerant? Yeah, of non-truth. We believe the truth of the Scriptures, and we can boast in it. So appropriate boasting is that which glorifies Jesus. You want to evaluate your boasting? Does it glorify Jesus? As a matter of fact, if anything of value has been done by me, it's only because God has used me, and therefore He gets all the glory. If God has done anything in this church as a result of me being here and using my gifts, it's only because they're gifts that He has given me, and He has chosen by His sovereignty and His grace to use me in order to accomplish His purposes, but He gets all the glory, not me. I will boast in Jesus Christ. We go back to that passage we read earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I read a few verses. I'm going to read them again and then expand on it. Verse 27, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Verse 31, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Old Testament quote, and it's quoted several times in the New Testament. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I have nothing about which I can boast for myself, but I can boast in the Lord for what He has done, and I will boast in the Lord. God chose me, an insignificant person. He chose you. He saved you, and He's using you. We look at ourselves and we think, well, how can God possibly use me? That's the whole point. God wants to use you because you're nothing and He's everything, and He's going to show Himself to be mighty when He uses you and when He uses me. Therefore, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. That's appropriate boasting. We read in Romans 15, 17, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. That's verse 17. But the word glory, same word. We could translate it rejoice. We could translate it boast. It's the same Greek word. I glory or I boast in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. So Paul looks at his own life, and if we were to argue about who the greatest apostle was, we could easily present a case that would show Paul to be the greatest apostle. And yet he says, I'm not boasting about any of that. I am boasting in Jesus Christ and what God has accomplished. And so he's the one that gets all the glory. So you need a guideline here on when to boast. The best guideline is to only boast in Jesus Christ. The guideline is to boast only in the cross of Christ, as Paul put it in Galatians chapter 6. Listen to verse 12. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. And then he adds this, verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. This should be our theme verse. When you want to look at when is an appropriate time for you to boast, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom God has made me one with Him. That is the time to boast, is when we're lifting up the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross is foolishness to this world. The cross is offensive to this world, but the cross is the absolute necessity for salvation for the world. And we must present that truth, and that's where we place our boast. Not only that, but we will never apologize for preaching the truth of salvation through the cross of Christ. That is the only way of salvation. May I never boast, Paul said, except in the cross of Christ. Boasting only in Christ helps you maintain perspective. When we leave here today and we're thinking about how we've been guilty of boasting, of bragging about this, that, or the other, and we think through these thoughts, this is going to change your perspective. It's going to help you be able to see things in a proper way. And remember that nothing in your life is of any significance apart from Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. Nothing in your life or mine is of any significance apart from Jesus Christ. No matter what else you do, how much you amass, how popular your name becomes, nothing is of any significance apart from Jesus Christ, because everything else is going to be gone. It's all going to vanish. So you boast in Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus. Same word, boast, glory, boast. Who glory or boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Sometimes we look at our lives and think, well, wait a minute, I do have several of the good things going for me. And we might make a list. A list maybe of our family heritage, a list of our accomplishments, a list of how diligent we have done certain things. We could make a list and we could be impressive to other people. And I could share with you a whole list of things. Here's the things that I have done. Here's how faithful I am to God in my attempt to impress you. Paul could have done that, but listen to what he says as he moves on. Verse 4 of Philippians chapter 3. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then he lists them. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew to the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. So he names seven things that, in the eyes of his Jewish compatriots, would be reasons for great boasting, reasons for personal pride, reasons that other people would look to him and say, yeah, Paul, you're the man. And then he says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. You want perspective in life? Put Christ where He belongs. Make sure that every time you boast, it glorifies Jesus Christ. And if it can't, keep your mouth shut. You have nothing that God didn't give you. There is nothing of value that does not ultimately bring glory to God. And He is the only one who deserves all the glory. What does that leave us with? Not much. Weakness, maybe. The last point is that God wants you to boast that when you are weak, He is strong. You can boast in that. You can boast about your sufferings to the extent that they allow you to give all glory to Jesus Christ. We read about that back in Romans chapter 5. Let me read those verses again. Verse 1. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice or boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice or boast, same word, in our sufferings. Paul says, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Paul says, I boast in my sufferings. Let me ask a question. Do you find yourself on your face before God seeking His presence and His provision most when everything is going well in your life and you've got the tiger by the tail and you're on top of the game? Or do you find yourself turning to Him most when life has pulled the rug out from under you and you've fallen desperately and everything seems to be going wrong and you are without hope? I know the answer to that one. It's always true. We are most drawn to God when we are at our weakest moments. So rejoice in your weakness. Boast in your weakness, because then God is going to be shown to be strong in your life. And what's more, God wants to be shown to be strong. You're wondering why you got problems? There it is, folks. God is trying to bring glory to Himself. You can't do it on your own. And those times that you think you are doing it, you're not on your own. God is the only one who allows us to make any progress in our lives whatsoever. So you can boast about your sufferings. You can boast about your weaknesses, whatever those may be, when you allow your life to demonstrate God's abundant grace. Listen to this passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. Paul says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. He goes on in chapter 12 to elaborate on that. Verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong in Christ Jesus. I am keenly and painfully aware of my weaknesses. Obviously, I don't get up in front of you and do all the stuff I'm bad at. But I guarantee there's a lot of them. And it's in those weaknesses that I find myself thinking, God, how can you use me? God, how can I go on? Paul says, I rejoice in those weaknesses. And no doubt in his prayers to God, he was thinking, God, if you will deliver me from these hardships in my life, from my weaknesses, I will be a better servant for you. Have you ever prayed those kind of prayers? God, please just release me from this burden. Release me from these health problems. Release me from these financial issues, and I will be a better servant for you. And God says, no, my grace is sufficient. For when you are weak, then I can show my strength, my power. God wants to keep us weak. That's where we can boast, is in our weaknesses. Not in our strengths. Not in the things that we feel like we're good at. But to give all the glory. The things I'm good at, it's only because God has accomplished it. The things I'm no good at, I have to rely on God all the more. So all glory belongs to God, regardless of what. Keith Getty and Stuart Townsend understood the biblical principle of boasting in the appropriate place when they wrote the song, How Deep the Father's Love. The last verse of this song goes like this. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart His wounds have paid my ransom. I stand here today as one who has been forgiven by the grace of God, who has been given whatever gifts and abilities I have just to glorify Jesus and nothing else. I cannot boast in anything but Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary and His resurrection. Where is boasting? It is excluded. You and I have no grounds for boasting about anything in and of ourselves, except for the saving grace of Jesus Christ at work in our lives. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you may have shown up here today thinking, well, I'll go to church and I'll keep working my way toward heaven. But that'll never happen. God has brought you here today to remind you that apart from His grace, there is no hope. But with His grace, there's eternal hope. And it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Today maybe needs to be the day of salvation for you, to surrender your life totally to Him, to boast in Him. For those of you who have already made that commitment, I want to challenge you. We are all tempted to boast from time to time. Next time that temptation comes, you ask yourself, can I give all glory to Jesus Christ through what I'm about to say? If the answer is no, just keep your mouth shut and look for a way to boast in Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. And if you realize that you've never accepted Christ and turned your life over to Him, you can make that commitment right now. You can pray either out loud or in the privacy of your heart. God hears both. And pray a prayer something like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I have nothing to offer You. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died for my sins. I believe He was raised to life. I believe He's the only way to heaven. I turn my life over to You. I ask You to forgive my sins, and through Jesus Christ, make me Your child. With your heads bowed, if you prayed that prayer today and you've never prayed it before, this was the first time, would you just lift your hand so I can rejoice with you? Anyone? Thank you. Anyone else? And even if you may not have lifted your hand, but you prayed that prayer, I don't have to know it. You stand before God, not before me. But I would also encourage you to pray that prayer before this day is over, because we never know if we have tomorrow. I pray, Lord, that You would encourage the hearts of each of these who's made this commitment today, that You would encourage them with the absolute knowledge that we didn't earn it, we couldn't achieve it, it's simply because of Your grace, but it's been given freely. And now, Lord, we want to turn our lives over to You and live for You to bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us all, Lord, to go from here not ashamed of the gospel, but boasting in the cross of Christ, our only hope for eternity. To share with the world that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that He alone forgives sins. Lord, may we boast in that and in nothing else. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.